Wealth and generosity. Money and abundant sharing. Riches and giving them away. The combination of these concepts lie at the very heart of Jesus' teachings. And St. Francis, in the spirit of Christ, said it well when he wrote, "For it is in giving that we receive." And repeatedly in the Gospels, Christ invites us to share our resources with the poor and the hungry, both in our midst and globally. And today's Gospel reading is no exception to this teaching. And it's a story often known as the rich young ruler, a blending of the same story that can be found in the three Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke. All three tell us the man was rich. Matthew tells us he was young, and Luke tells us that he was a ruler or a lawyer in some translations. Either way, the man is seemingly a deeply religious person, so well attuned to his practices that he can sense that there is more out there than he's experienced so far. And we can glean that he is clearly a good person. And by running and kneeling before Christ, he demonstrates an enthusiasm for both Jesus and his teaching. Though morally a good person, the man soon finds out that discipleship demands more. As he asks the big question, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" His opening question indicates a degree of self-centeredness. What must I do? And Jesus at first reminds him to observe the commandments, to get him to focus on God, for God alone is good. And the man responds saying, "I've been doing this constantly since I was a youth." Maybe at this point he was expecting to be told that that was all he needed to do. And then Jesus looked at him with great love and loved him. Wealth was this man's weak spot. And Jesus knew his weakness and zoned in on it. For Jesus knows the thoughts and intentions of every heart. Though the man didn't do anything bad to people, it would seem he didn't do anything good for people, to make their lives better, to share with those less fortunate than him the enormous financial resources that he had. Jesus' words of response are not in condemning the man, but are an invitation for him to find a new way of living, a new way of life. And in the story, Jesus told the man to sell everything. But it's important to understand that the message in this passage, and not to take it literally. A couple of weeks ago, we heard Jesus telling the crowds to gouge out eyes and cut off limbs if they cause you to sin. He didn't mean it literally. These are illustrations from the Gospel where Jesus used Aramaic exaggeration to make a point. And the point here is that we are to generously share our economic resources with the poor, hungry and less fortunate than we are in this world. So the big question is, do we love God and the welfare of our neighbour more than money or material possessions? Jesus' primary call is a call to a life of discipleship, not to a life of poverty. But to be a follower of Christ, we have to become a partner with God in the creative work of building the kingdom. And that involves a complex of mutual relationships based on truth, on love, on respect, and on justice. A life of authentic discipleship contravenes the world's values. And the kingdom of God confronts us with a vision of life and identity in Christ that is quite incompatible with so many of our core perceptions about selfhood and wealth. Jesus' invite to come and follow stemmed from his love for this man, just as in his love for us, he invites us to come and follow at me show you the way to live out your life with a heart full of love, full of truth and full of justice for others, not with a heart full of desire for money or for status and power. Unfortunately, the man was saddened by Jesus' response, and he went away. To which Jesus commented to his disciples how difficult it is for those who are rich or who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. But by definition, being rich or wealthy does not just mean having a lot or owning a lot. It means having a lot more than others, where among those others there are many who do not have enough to live. Wealth, riches often make people selfish, where the purpose of time and energy is in taking care of oneself with disregard to the need of those less fortunate. An ancient scribe added two words to verse 23 to make it read, "How hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God." The problem highlighted by the rich man is not being rich, but it's by putting faith in the wealth a person has or craves for. And Jesus' disciples were perplexed by his teaching. Why? Because in their day, people viewed worldly wealth and status as a blessing from God. So, if the rich cannot be saved, the rich who are blessed by God, then who can? And Jesus simply answered that while such an overturning of worldly values may seem impossible for mortals, for God all things are possible. For salvation is a gracious gift from God. We are all saved by God's grace, and not by anything we have done or do. So what we need is wisdom, not wealth. Wisdom that brings a deep insight into the real important values in life. And to have such wisdom is real wealth, as it opens the lock on being held captive to worldly values and allows us to freedom and happiness. May we reflect on to what degree this vision of Jesus, his disciples being in close fellowship, founded on mutual love, care and compassion, where everything is shared and where the main concern is to see that the needs of our brothers and sisters are taken care of, is a reality in our church community, our homes, our neighbourhoods and society in which we live. To what extent do we really care for each other and share our resources as a community envisioned by the kingdom of God? In a few moments we will gather at the great holy Thanksgiving feast, where we are all invited, regardless of our weaknesses. Let us then, though weak, naked and laid bare, boldly approach the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find God's grace and Christ's love to help us to help others in time of